Bottom seventh here at Yankee Stadium in Milroy. It'll be Alex Geislinger, Jordan New, and Colin Eskew due up for the Rockies as James Green is up, has now fallen behind, Alex Geislinger, 3-1. Rockies haven't had a man reach base since Geislinger singled his last time up. As eight in a row retired by James Green, a 3-1 pitch to Geislinger is fouled into the netting on a healthy hack by Geislinger. Fills our count up at 3-2. Cold Spring leads by one. Danced around the flames in the bottom, or in the top, of the seventh inning, looking to decompress and get something going here in the bottom half and extend their one-run lead as that pitch fouled away by Geislinger once again. Fills us up at 3-2. Cold Spring scored 12 runs in each of their first two victories in the state tournament, just one thus far through six. As the 3-2 pitch, Geislinger fouls that back into the netting once again. And the count stays put at 3-2. As Jordan New out retrieving the foul ball from the netting. Green set on the bump. He's got a fresh pearl. Tall right-hander's ready. His payoff pitch to Geislinger is fouled into the netting once again.
Alex falling off four pitches already in this at-bat so far, Kirby.
We see that lefty up in the Isanti pen once again. As James Green has retired eight straight Rockies, but that pitch count's got to be climbing. His payoff pitch again to Duff or to Geislinger. That ball's hit in the air to left center field, and that ball will one-hop the fence in left center. Geislinger digging for two. He's going to stay put right there, and it's a leadoff double, second hit of the evening for Alex Geislinger. Great at-bat right there, Kurt.
You said it when you said a great at-bat there. He took that pitch on the outside part of the plate, and he one-hopped the fence out in left center. He ends up with a standout double out there, and that quickly is going to get a visit from the Isanti Redbirds manager as number 29, T.J. Wink, was warmed up good in the fifth inning. He's pretty loose out there in the seventh inning, too.
Game tonight brought to you by our sports boosters here on KASM. They include Erkins Water, Gilliland Chevrolet of St. Cloud, Rambo, Tom Kramer Incorporated, Westwind Woodworkers of Cold Spring, Painesville Mutual Insurance, Willembring Dahl, Woken, and Zimmerman of Cold Spring, Avon, and Albany, Subway of Cold Spring Bakery, Promotional Resources Incorporated in St. Joe. Stay tuned after the game where Kurt will name our Albany and Richmond A&W postgame player of the game. That player is going to receive a $10 gift certificate to Albany or Richmond A&W. For a combo meal or ice cream for his pals, for all I care. I mean, they get to spend the $10 however they want to. That'll come up after the game here on KASM. We'll keep it right here for the pitching change, Kurt, as we see Tom Ficker talking with Eskew and New and the runner Alex Geislinger. You got to assume a bunt's got to be down right here, huh?
Well, when you look at who's up at the plate, Jordan New, he's already bunted twice tonight. He had the big safety squeeze to give us our first run. He tried bunting for a hit his first time, ended up bunting a little bit too far. He's one of the better bunters you'll ever see, and I can't imagine that he isn't doing the same thing right here.
Did you get a name on this pitcher?
Yes, I did. Number 29, T.J. Wink, in the pitch for the Isanti Redbirds. He is one of their own. He is a left-hander.
All he's got to do is give me that wink as he comes into the game, as he will be in relief and in charge of trying to keep this a 1-0 game as Geislinger retreats back to second base here as the warm-up pitches for T.J. Wink. Remember, baseball tomorrow on our family of stations in Albany here on KASM at 3 o'clock. It'll be the Bird Island-Watkins game live from Springfield's Riverside Park with Randy and Don at 1 o'clock on Total Country Bob FM, our sibling station. My brother Reese and I will have the Cold Spring Springers losers bracket action as they take on the Meesville Mudhens. So Wink has warmed up. Jordan New into the batter's box. As Kurt mentioned, a drag bunt attempt in the second inning. He had that RBI on the safety squeeze sacrifice back in the fourth inning that scored Austin Duffner. Isanti's thinking he's bunting. Their first baseman, big boy Blaze Hoagie, is in front of the bag at first. Shortstop Tuhalski trying to keep Geislinger close at second. As Wink, the lefty, he looks out at Alex Geislinger. Now looks again. New squares to bunt. First pitch is just off the plate for a ball. Eesh. Zone's going to get a little change here.
Looks like that was a perfect pitch for him to bunt with the third baseman playing back. Even with the bag, he drops that right down the third base line. He's about to bunt single.
One and oh the count to the Rocky shortstop. His left hand comes up to bunt once again as this bunt is popped up in for a chance as it drops foul as Logan Callis unable to get even close enough to dive at that ball, Kurt.
It's a good thing Logan Callis was back playing even with the bag, because if he would have been playing up farther like you would have thought he would have been on a bunt, he would have snagged that pop-up right out of the air.
See, now if there's a runner on first there, he's charging, but with the runner at second, he's got to stay put and man his post at third base. Otherwise, that would have been an out for the Rockies, as you alluded to. 1-1 the count to New as Wink looks at Geislinger at second base. Alex doubled as the two-strike pitch as New waves at or tries stabbing at a bunt right there on a curveball. Just a big old hook bender from TJ Wink that New's unable to get down, and he's in a hole at 1-2. And Kurt, I wouldn't be surprised if he bunts once again right here with two strikes on him.
No, I wouldn't be either, but he doesn't want to try bunting a big curveball like he just tried to there, because that thing fell right off the table.
1-2 the count. Wink a couple looks. New squares once again. The 1-2 pitch, he pulls back as the pitch missing for a ball. New with the bout of food poisoning last weekend and probably didn't get a ton of practice this week, as I know he was still ailing as late as Thursday. Probably not in love with his swing and timing right now. So he'll gladly try bunting with two strikes instead of trying to barrel up this lefty. As the 1-2 pitch, New does get the bunt down right back to Wink on the mound. He'll flip to first baseman or to a second baseman covering Jeff Bauman as New does the job once again, Kurt Hemish, with the sacrifice.
He has. It's his third bunt of the evening, and the second one was a perfect safety squeeze, and this time he does a great job of advancing that runner over to third base. Wasn't the ideal bunt he wanted to do down one of the baselines, so he could have worked out possibly a single, but he did do his job advancing that runner to third base, and once again, we have a visit from the coach out to the pitcher's mound. I'm sure they're going to decide, hey, what should we do over here? We got a guy at third base. First and second base are open. There's only one out. They've already bunted on us once. Let's go out here and talk about it and see what we're ready to do, what the Rockies throw at us here.
So there's Steve Allen from the dugout, probably just making him aware that, hey, they squeezed before. They could potentially do that again right here. Ask you in the batter's box. For Cold Spring, Colin thus far in the day struck out looking in the second against James Green, and he bounced out to the first baseman, Blaze Hoagie, to end the fourth inning. Meeting of the minds has come to an end. The infield comes way in because Isani's got to keep this a one-run game. Rocky bullpen has gone quiet, as we will anticipate who's coming out in the eighth inning for Cold Spring, but for now, we got to button up the bottom of the seventh. I'm keeping an eye on Geislinger at third. He inches off third, and here comes the squeeze on the first pitch. It's popped up, and it's caught. It's caught by TJ Wink on a beautiful diving catch. Out at third base by 90 feet is Alex Geislinger, and Steve Allen, the manager for Isanti, just what he ordered, Kurt Hemish.
Well, and unfortunately for the Rockies, that's exactly what happened. Colin Eskew ends up bunting it a little bit too hard. The pitcher does a great job of diving for that ball to catch it in the air. Alex Geislinger had such a lead. He was across home plate by the time the pitcher caught that ball over there. All he has to do is stand up and run over to third base and touch third base for a big double play for the Redbirds to get out of a jam in the bottom of the seventh inning.
How many times you see a pitcher unassisted out at third base? How many times you write that in your book?
Not very often, I'll tell you that.
For Cold Spring in the seventh, no runs on one hit. There were no Isanti errors and nobody left on base. Been a good one through seven. We got two more to go. Pitching change coming up. Same guy for Cold Spring, if you were curious. Hennin back out on the mound for the eighth inning coming up in a minute right here on KASM.
Spark a conversation today to prevent a fire tomorrow. The staff at Painesville Mutual, your local Grinnell Mutual member insurance company, don't want to see your dreams go up in smoke. So we encourage you to talk fire safety during Fire Prevention Week. Discuss escape plans with your family and test your smoke detectors to prevent a tragedy tomorrow. You can also be prepared with insurance from Painesville Mutual. Contact an agent today at 243-7149. Plan for your future. Trust in tomorrow. Trust in Tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company. If you're not eating fresh, you're not eating Subway. Visit Subway Cold Spring for fresh, fit choices. Salads, a breakfast menu, 6-inch subs, footlongs, and fresh fit for the kids too, including a mini sub, apples, and a drink. Planning a party? Let Subway Cold Spring put a party platter together that will satisfy everyone's taste buds. Subway Cold Spring. Stop by and give us a try, or call us and we'll have it ready to go. Phone 685-8789. Proud to be a favorite food of the Cold Spring Rockies.
sports play-by-play on your dependable neighbor, Chasm.
Top eight we go for Isanti as they're looking to build off some momentum that they just got as the Rockies, Colin Eskew, popping up the suicide squeeze in the bottom of the seventh inning as Hennin gets the first two pitches to be popped up, fouling out of play by the ninth place hitter Tristan Zimprick as two strikes on him. Kurt, the pitch count for Ryan Hennin is above 110 now, isn't it?
Yep, he's up at 112 pitches so far, so it's probably going to be his last inning at work. Let's hope he gets through it and go from there.
0-2 the count to Zimprick. 0-2 pitch, cut on and missed. And out on strikes is Zimprick as the strikeout for Hennin is number 9 right there and a big out number 1 because that guy is 0-3 now, but he's been pesty in that 9 spot.
Well, he has. He ends up falling a lot off in his first two at-bats. He did the same thing in this at-bat, falling off the first two, but then Ryan went and threw the big bender at him for strike 3.
So back to the top of the order for Isanti, and it starts with Jeff Bowman here, who is 1-3 on the day. We still see double barrel action in the Rock Shop pen in the right field corner. As the first offering to Bowman, missing low for a ball. They got 9 guys in the field and what, about 7 of them in the bullpen over there?
Just like we've seen the first two games, they end up putting whoever was on the bench, I swear, down in the bullpen.
I'm still not certain that they're not, they don't have a cooler of beer or something over there in the pen as the one strike, or the 1-0 pitch, excuse me, is flipped foul by Jeff Bowman to even it up at 1-1. No runs on 3 hits for the Isanti Redbirds. Single in the first, a harmless single in the second, and a single last inning in the seventh. That was a that's what they've got thus far, is the 1-1 pitch missing low to Bowman, who will be followed by Joel Tucholsky for Isanti. Hennin right back, his 2-1 offering. That is cut on and missed on the changeup right there by Bowman. Evens us up at 2-2. Hennin's been brilliant here tonight. Hasn't allowed a he's allowed one runner to reach third. Two runners to reach third, excuse me. As he's looking in, and time called at home plate by Jeff Bowman. 2-2 the count. Isanti looking to get something cooking here. As Cold Spring leads 1-0 in the top of the eighth inning. Rockies 5 outs away from the quarterfinals. Another long look in from Hennin. He's got his sign from Kaltoff as the 2-2 pitch just missing in right there. Kaltoff's going to check the base ump, and Bowman did check his swing, and that fills it up at 3-2. I sometimes think those catchers just like checking any chance they can get. All those one umpire games they catch throughout the summer, when they get two, they feel like firing a finger down at the base ump.
Well, he definitely did check his swing on that one.
3-2 pitch, high ball 4, and a nice at-bat right there from Jeff Bowman, able to lay off that 3-2 changeup, Kurt Hemmich.
Well, he did on ball 3, and he definitely did on ball 4. Unfortunately for Ryan, he was trying to go get him with a big bender on the outside part of the plate, and unfortunately neither one of them broke in for him.
That brings Joe Tucholsky to the plate, representing the go-ahead run here for Isanti. Quiet day out of the 2-hole, 0-3, with a strikeout, a ground out, and a flyout. Good speed on the pads in the form of Jeff Bowman as the first offering to Tucholsky, missing for a ball. As the blood pressure goes up in the Rocky pen and the Rocky dugout, as Hennin got to be up towards 120 by now on the pitch count. Is the lefty ready? He'll throw over and back safely with ease is Jeff Bowman. Tucholsky to be followed by Wyatt Soderquist, the 2-3 hitters in the Isanti lineup, combined 0-6. Hennin set, long pause, 1-0 pitch to Tucholsky, and that hits Tucholsky, Kurtz, and it's runners at first and second now, so you go walk, hit by pitch, and now the wheels are turning.
Well, that's not what the Rockies wanted to see happen there to start the bottom of the eighth inning. As you said, the Redbirds were probably going to be coming up on fire after they ended up with that big double play to get themselves out of that jam in the bottom of the seventh inning. We did get a big first strikeout for the first out in the bottom of the, excuse me, the top of the eighth here. But a walk on 7 pitches, and now he hit the first batter there on 2 pitches, not the start Ryan Hennin wanted to have here in the bottom of the eighth inning.
So first and second for Isanti, and Wyatt Soderquist into the batter's box as he looks at a strike on the corner from Hennin. Strikeout for Soderquist in the first inning. Bounce out to Duffner in the fourth, and a strikeout again in the sixth. Hennin has compiled 9 strikeouts on the evening through 7 1/3. One strike pitch is blazed on the corner as well, and he quickly gets ahead of Soderquist at 0-2.
He couldn't get that breaking pitch to drop in there to the last two batters, so he went right at him with two fastballs here, Kirby.
Bowman leads from second, Tucholsky from first, as Duffner playing behind Tucholsky. New trying to keep Bowman as close to second as he can. He's the tying run. 0-2 pitch. That's slashed down the left field line. That's a fair ball, and that's going to go into the corner. Bowman comes across to tie it. Allen's going to wave Tucholsky. No, Tucholsky trips on third base, and he's going to scamper back to the bag. It is a game-tying double for Wyatt Soderquist, who laced that ball into the left field corner, and we're knotted up at one.
He took that fastball on the outside part of the plate, and you said it. He laced it right down the line. It was fair by about a foot. Eskew had to go retrieve it all the way down in the corner. I think the Redbirds might have took the lead because it looked like Tucholsky was coming around to score on that. He ends up tripping on third base and ends up having to go back to third base. Either that or the coach decided to stop him at the last second, and then he ended up tripping by doing that way. But they did end up tying the game, and they have runners at second and third with only one out here in the top of the eighth inning.
And their cleanup hitter at the plate as Tom Ficker out of the dugout for Cold Spring and a conversation as they're looking around, seeing where they're at in the order. They're at the four spot, boys. I would assume that that means the Rockies will be putting on Logan Collis, Kurt.
Well, I would think you'd have to with first base open here. You're going to want to put a force everywhere. You get a chance for a double play. You get a force at home versus having to tag them. I can't imagine that you wouldn't be walking the four hitter here with first base open.
Collis is a righty. On deck would be Hoagie, who's a lefty too, by the way, as Hennen will stay in this game. It appeared he'll stay in this game. As he's staying on the bump as Tom Ficker's meeting has come to an end. So second and third with one away. Go-ahead run now at third as the Rocky infield, the middle infield, backing up a little bit. They got to come all the way in here, don't they?
Oh, they definitely do.
Okay, there was the free pass. Because they're playing double play depth, it's like, well, you didn't set up the force yet, guys. So there's the intentional walk to Logan Collis. As you called that one, Curtis, and that'll bring the lefty, Blaze Hoagie, to the plate. But this lefty did have a single his last time up. He's 1-for-2 with a walk and a single.
He does have one of the four hits on the day for the Redbirds.
So Hennen was perfect in pitching a shutout through 7 1/3. RBI double for Wyatt Soderquist has tied our game at one. He's at second. Joe Tucholsky is at first as the first pitch fouled into the netting on a healthy hack right there by Blaze Hoagie. So Hennen quickly getting ahead. One strike the count. Middle infield back for Cold Spring. Alex Geislinger way back at shortstop. Looking to cover some ground as a Hoagie, the first baseman, trying to stay out of the double play. As that pitch is cut on and missed as he waves at the Hennen changeup right there. And Ryan quickly ahead of Hoagie at 0-2.
A little surprised how shallow Austin Duffner's playing over there at first base with a big left-handed hitter.
He's got to come home with it, though. He can't play back on it, otherwise they're giving up a run.
He does, but he keeps creeping in on it as it's coming here. If he hits a bullet right at him, it's going to be tough.
As the 0-2 pitch to Hoagie, that is slashed foul. As Blaze, a bounce out to Jordan Newman in the second inning. He walked fourth, and he had that single in front of Colin Eskew that Colin ended up letting get by him last inning in the seventh. 0-2 the count. Redbirds everywhere. One away, 1-1 our score. Top of the eighth inning. Hennen set his 0-2 pitch. Cut on and missed, and a huge strikeout right there for Ryan Hennen, his 10th of the evening.
Well, we thought he had two big strikeouts. What inning was that back there?
He had the big strikeout last inning with the runner at
with the runner at third base, and he had one in to end the fourth inning with the runner at third base. But there was none bigger there with the bases loaded and only one out here in the top of the eighth inning.
So still bases loaded as Tucholsky's at third, Soderquist at second, and Collis at first, and the batter will be Nick Hoffman. Hoffman has reached in an error. He had a sacrifice bunt, and he did single for Isanti's second hit back in the second inning. Infield retreats to normal depth as the first offering to Hoffman is cut on and missed as he goes up there hacking. As it is a one-strike count. 1-1 our score. You look back to that bottom of the seventh inning, Kurt, the failed suicide squeeze between Eskew and Alex Geislinger that got a double play and Isanti out of the inning. As the one-strike pitch, Hoffman waves at that one, and the catcher in a hole at 0-2 as he steps out of the batter's box and shakes his head a little bit, saying, "Yeesh, I wasn't anywhere near that ball." As Hennin trying to get the Rockies back into the dugout with the score tied at 1. Hoffman's a single away from Isani taking their first lead and potentially it being a two-run lead. The lefty set. He's up 2 strikes on him. Bases loaded, 2 out in the 8th as a 2-strike pitch is tapped foul at home plate by Nick Hoffman and will do the 0-2 over again. And he was just wait on that off-speed and he barely got a chunk of it.
Well, it was one of those off-speed pitches, like you said. I'm going to wait and wait for it, but I'm surprised he could wait as long as it took because it took a long time for that pitch to get there.
Count frozen at 0-2. As the left-hander set, 0-2 pitch, swung on and missed. He waves at it. Kultoff knocks it down, steps on the plate. Strikeouts 10 and 11. None bigger than those two right there, Kurt Hemish.
Well, when you have the bases loaded and one out, the pitcher's best friend is either a double play or a strikeout. Well, he ended up coming up with 2 strikeouts there, none bigger than any of them in the game. But unfortunately for the Rockies, the Redbirds did tie it up.
For Isani in the 8th, they scored 1 run on 1 hit. There were no Cold Spring errors, and the bases left loaded. After 7.5, it is the scoreboard now reading Isanti 1, Cold Spring 1. We're on to the bottom of the 8th inning coming up in a minute. It's been a fun one on your Friday on KASM.
The Rambo brand reads, "We're in the business of making you look good." This message is understood 2 ways. First, it's understood with your eyes. We make you look good when you wear the quality embroidered and screen-printed products of the Rambo Company. Our message is also understood with your heart. Your employees, customers, and others will feel the love for you because you picked Rambo as your promotional product supplier. We do these things for you because we do it in one house. Our house is your house. Rambo New London.
With love for architecture and a passion for woodworking, Westwind Woodworkers of Cold Spring puts design and craftsmanship into every cabinet they build. From the very basic to elaborate, cabinets are built for new homes, remodeled and restoration projects, and commercial construction projects. Westwind Woodworkers cabinets are handcrafted to the highest standard, yet personalized with your unique style in mind. For cabinets that say wow, call 685-4313 or visit them online at westwindwoodworkers.com. Good luck to the Cold Spring area amateur baseball teams in the state tournament from Westwind Woodworkers in Cold Spring.
Bottom 8 we go. Kurt Hemish, when the going get tough, the tough get going, and Ryan Hennin got pretty darn tough right there with the bases loaded and one out with those 2 strikeouts.
Well, he definitely did. I'm sure some people thought he probably should have been out of the ball game by what his pitch count was up to right there, but they also know that if someone's going to get a strikeout for the Cold Spring Rockies, it's probably going to be Ryan Hennin, and that's exactly what he did. 2 big strikeouts with the bases full and only one out.
Cold Spring in the top of the 8th will have the bottom of the order in the form of Calvin Kultoff, Sam Distel, and Brady Lynn. As we still see a double barrel activity in the Rocky pen, we see a guy swinging a bat in the Isanti pen. So safe to assume the game is TJ Winks right now, as Wink came in relief last inning and pretty good relief work as well, getting that he got the sack bunt and then the bunt popped up by Colin Eskew. As Kultoff, first pitch swinging, hits one in the air to center field. Having it measured with plenty of room is Tristan Zimprek, and he'll make the catch to retire Kultoff on one pitch, as Kelvin now 0-3 on the night.
Kelvin takes that first pitch fastball right down the plate and just gets underneath it for a big pop-up at first base. But the Rockies are going to have a pinch hitter here for Sam Distel as Nick Skluzacek steps into the batter's box to pinch hit for the Cold Spring Rockies.
So Skluzacek will hit in place of Nick Skluzacek. As Tom Ficker making the change.
We have a score in from Springfield in the other Class C game that's being played this evening in the 7th inning. It's Buffalo 9, Foley 0.
As Buffalo with a 9-0 lead. Foley Lumberjacks, another team out of the Rockies region.
16 teams left coming into this weekend, and all 3 teams from Region 11C, the Sartell Muskies, Foley, and the Colskies. All are 3 of those 16 teams.
So Skluzacek hitting for Distel here. Sammy was 0 for 1 with a walk as the first offering. Two Skluzat check in there for a strike. Nick on the tournament, Kurt?
So far for Nick, he's had one hit in the first two games. He was 1 for 7. He had a big double. I believe it was a bases-loaded double in that first game against Starbuck.
Yeah, he's got some RBIs, I see. A couple RBIs for Skluzacek as he looks at a ball right there. He'll be followed by Brady Lynn for Cold Spring here in the eighth inning as TJ Wink, 1-1 on the Rocky pinch hitter. Wink's 1-1 pitch just off the plate right there. Moves our count to 2-1. Appreciate you joining us on your Friday night tonight. First Friday of September has been a fun one here in Milroy as the 2-1 pitch cut on and missed on a healthy hack from Skluzacek. As Wink got the heater by him, 2-2 the count.
You said it on a healthy hack. He wanted that pitch on the outside corner.
2-2 as Wink's 2-2 offering. That is missing down and in. That right at feet of Nick Skluzacek. Catcher Nick Hoffman ends up kind of taking a tumble, trying to block that ball. As the count moves now to 3-2. Cold Spring would do anything for a base runner. Hit by pitch, walk, air. Looking for someone to get on base and get them moving. As Wink has filled it up to Skluzacek, and Skluzy now calls time at home. I see his brother, high school teammate of mine when I was in high school, Brian Skluzacek, here today. He's a Fort Ripley Rebel. As Brian, an 07 graduate of Ricori High School. 3-2 as Skluzacek back into the batter's box. Payoff pitch, high ball 4, and a pinch hit walk right there for Nick Skluzacek.
Hi, Don Erkins here from Erkins Water. We at Erkins Water are doing all we can to protect our employees and our customers while helping to prevent the spread of COVID. We are open to help you get that water as soft, clean, and odor-free as you want it to be. Call Erkins Water and let us help. We are seeing more arsenic, tannins, and organically bound iron in waters today. We have the equipment to clean them up. We now have iron filters that use less water to regenerate and still require no maintenance. All of our water softeners and filtering equipment regenerate on water usage, not days. And all of our systems include installation, sales tax, and a free fill of salt. Are you drinking enough water today? Are you concerned about the quality and taste of your water? Are you buying bottled water? Call and ask about our highly efficient reverse osmosis systems that make your water safer and taste better. These new systems do not waste near the water as in the past. Let us get your water as clean, soft, and odor-free as it should be. Erkins Water of Cold Spring.
For your next construction, remodeling, or cleanup project, call Tom Kramer Incorporated for all your roll-off container needs. Tom Kramer Incorporated takes pride in offering Central Minnesota residents prompt, professional, and competitively priced roll-off services. With over 600 containers and two locations in Cold Spring and Glenwood, there's a container for every size job. Call today and have a roll-off delivered at 320-685-8226. Tom Kramer Incorporated, serving Minnesota residents since 1938. Good luck to the Central Minnesota teams in the 2020 State Amateur Baseball Tournament. It's the perfect complement to your breakfast, lunch, or dinner. A donut roll or cookie from the Cold Spring Bakery. The Sherman family and their dedicated employees are committed to creating and baking the finest bakery products around. Parents, check out the back-to-school cookies at Cold Spring Bakery, shaped like crayons and apples. And remember to stock your pantry with all the fresh baked bread and buns. It's a sweet treat to have Cold Spring so close to our home. Good luck to all teams playing in the State Amateur Baseball Tournament from the Cold Spring Bakery.
Back at Yankee Stadium, as a wild pitch right there to Brady Lynn. Kurt Hemish gets the go-ahead run, move to second base in the form of Nick Skluzacek, as 3-2 the count to the Rocky nine-hitter Brady Lynn. 3-2, TJ Wink ready, His payoff pitch to Lynn, high ball four. It's back-to-back walks to the bottom of the Rocky order, as now they have runners at first and second with one away, and that'll draw a mound visit from catcher Nick Hoffman.
Well, just like Nick Skuzacek did in the number eight hole there, he works all the full count walk. Brady Lynn falls behind in the count 1-2, and he ends up getting three straight balls to work out a walk. Rockies have their second and third batter of the eighth inning here on for the top of the order in the form of Tyler Geislinger.
We're tied at one here in Milroy as Cold Spring and Isanti, they've been in an absolute dogfight here tonight under the lights at Yankee Stadium as the lineup does turn over with Tyler Geislinger into the batter's box as Ty Guy, 1-for-3 on the evening, as he'll get his first look at lefty TJ Wink, who has some control issues all of a sudden. As the left-hander set, he looks out at Sam Distel, who's pinch running at, or who re-entered for himself, excuse me, at second base as the first pitch just missing right there. Where was that, Kurt?
No, it was just off the plate on the left-hand side of the plate, just like the umpire's done all day. He'll give you that pitch on the right side. He won't on the left.
1-0 the count as Wink looks at Distel at second base. The 1-0 pitch to Geislinger. That's high ball two. He's had two walks already this inning, as now we see activity in the Isanti Redbird bullpen. Steve Allen is a step out of the dugout already. They got a couple guys out of the dugout over there for Isanti in that third base dugout. He's not coming out. He's just standing outside. As 2-0 the count, as Geislinger calls time. Nick Skuzacek pinch hit for Sam Distel. He walked. Got to second on a wild pitch. Now Brady Lynn walks. As the Rockies have something cooking with one down only in the bottom of the eighth inning. 1-1 the score. Team's trying to advance into the state quarterfinals. 3 o'clock Tilly on Sunday in Springfield. As TJ Wink set, his 2-0 pitch to Geislinger. That's hit in the air to short right field, and that'll drop. Ficker wants Distel to come home. Right fielder up with it, and Distel will come across safely. It's an RBI single for Tyler Geislinger, and Cold Spring leads 2-1.
Well, Tyler Geislinger had a pretty good hint that they were going to be throwing a fastball strike to him after they fell behind 2-0 on him. He takes that fastball belt high strike, and he laces it right in front of the right fielder. The right fielder bobbles it for a second. Brady Lynn does a nice job of going all the way over to third base. The Rockies still have runners at the corners with only one out here in the bottom of the eighth inning, and we have another visit from the manager.
And Steve Allen coming out of the dugout for Isanti. Doesn't get any easier here for the Redbirds as the big bat of Austin Duffner into the batter's box. As the powwow, I'm not sure when the gentleman started hurling in the pen for Isanti, but got to assume down by a run in a single elimination state tournament game, he's got to be pretty close to ready over there as the meeting of the minds comes to an end, and well, it was coming to an end.
He did throw a little bit in the seventh inning, and then he put his coat back on down there, and we're standing down there with a bat in his hand. And then once he gave up that leadoff walk, Skuzacek, he started warming up a little regular out there. But they're not making a change here, Kirby.
So Isanti ties it in the top of the eighth inning, and the Rockies recapture the lead, and they're still cooking here in the bottom of the eighth as Austin Duffner stands into the batter's box. First and third with one away. Middle infield's hoping for a double play ball. Corners are in. They're going to try to keep Brady Lynn at the plate. The Rockies have squeezed twice already this evening. They're batting .500 on the squeezes. But none of those guys broke or tied a state tournament record for home runs last week. As Wink set his first offering to Duffner. That is in there for a strike with no indication of a bunt from the Duff man. Safety squeeze for Cold Spring to get a run in the fourth. A suicide squeeze for Cold Spring in the bottom of the seventh. That was popped up by Colin Eskew. Caught by the pitcher TJ Wink to double off the runner Alex Geislinger. Tyler Geislinger with good speed at first. He stays put. One strike pitch is swung on and missed by Duffner, and he's in a hole at 0-2. Hack right there, Kurt, trying to make this a 5-1 game. Right now, he's got to do something to get that run in.
He's got to put the ball in play here instead of try hitting it out of the park like he just did on the last one. Hit a ball to the left side of the infield through the hole or even a fly ball to the outfield just to get that runner in from third base.
Outfield awfully deep on Duffner. 0-2 is Wink getting ahead. The 0-2 pitch, that is just off the corner right there. as Wink hit his spot. That's where Hoffman was set out, but just missing outside. And now we see the umpire with his hand up, as I'm sure the Isani dugout, they wanted that pitch to be called a punch out. I've been there before when you think you got that great view and you got the big bat struck out. And it's 1-2 the count to Duffner. 1-2 pitch. That's down and in. It's knocked down by the catcher, Hoffman. Lynn stays put at third, but Geislinger wisely reads that ball down, Kurt, on the wild pitch, and he's going to negate the double play right now as he advances up 90 feet. Runners at second and third, and the infield's got to come all the way in.
Well, Tyler did a good job of reading that pitch as it only ended up rolling about 2 feet in front of home plate there. But with his quick read, he was easy down at second base. He didn't even draw a throw.
So with the infield all the way in now, a Duffner single will give the Rockies a 3-1 lead as the pitch is swung on and missed. Duffner's out on strikes. Hennin got the big strikeout when he needed it, Kurt, and Wink needed one right there. He gets his first of the evening on a big out number two.
Well, he did, and I think that's why they left him in there, because they wanted that lefty on lefty right there, and he got his big strikeout. But we do have another visit from the manager now, so now we know there will be a pitching change. So
Steve Allen quickly out of the dugout, as that'll be the evening for TJ Wink, as the second visit is coming in from the bullpen will be the new Isanti pitcher. Cold Spring leads 2-1. Adam, we're going to keep it right here for the defensive change. As for the Rockies, they have recaptured the lead. They had a walk to Nick Skuzacek, a walk to Brady Lynn, and then a RBI single for Tyler Geislinger as he punches a ball to right field, scoring the runner Sam Distel, as Distel came back in to run for Skuzacek as he came across to score from second. Rockies get runners at second and third here. And now it's decision time for Isanti what to do with David Jonas. They brought a righty in, Kurt, and Jonas is a righty, and Alex Geislinger, the lefty on deck. You don't normally do a lot of righty-lefty matchup stuff in amateur baseball, but that could possibly factor into the decision here.
Well, it definitely could, as they brought their new relief pitcher in by the name of Zach Walsh. Like you said, a right-handed thrower here. Are they going to take a chance and walk David so you load the bases and you're going to have a force everywhere? But you... It's never easy when you're facing the number three or four hitter at that time.
It's the guys the Rockies want up here. As the pitcher, as you had said, is Zach Walls, the third Isanti pitcher, all of which from Isanti, Kurt. No draftees, which is kind of nice to see. The true Isanti Redbirds versus the Cold Spring Rockies right now.
On the lineup card, I see they did have three draftees listed down there, but I thought during the national anthem I only seen two guys out of a different uniform.
As the Rockies threatening here in the eighth, they already got the run they needed to break the tie in. Now they're looking to tack on. As Zach Wall's finishing his warm-up pitches, he's Kurt Hemish. I'm Kirby Hemish. Appreciate you joining us on your Friday night here in Milroy on KASM. Got to say hello to Logan and Lydia Adams, keeping an eye on their mom and dad and making sure they got the pontoon safe out on Canals Lake in the chain of lakes back home. So the powwow and the pitching change has come to an end as David Jonas into the batter's box. Kurt, he has two absolutely scorched line drives at left fielder Wyatt Soderquist. You would say the baseball gods should be on his side here with a little bloop single. As the first offering from Walls to Jonas, missing low. Isanti's got some guns on this team, man. They got some heaters on the squad.
They do. We've seen that in the warm-up when that shortstop and third baseman, some of those ground balls that were hit deep in the hole, they just lined him over to first base.
As Wall set right at the letters, the one-strike pitch fisted by Jonas, and that ball will drop foul, and Davey needs a new piece of lumber.
Well, for a second there, I thought we were going to get what we were hoping for. It wasn't going to be that line drive fly ball right to the left fielder. It was going to be one of those little Texas leaguers, but just went a little bit too foul over there.
So Jonas has had an expensive foul ball. Bat didn't even die a hero. As he's over in the Rocky first base dugout, fetching a new piece of wood.
The new piece of lumber might have two RBIs in it, though.
Burt Blylevin's broadcasting career came to an end on Wednesday. Kurt, is that a Blylevin call right there from you?
Well, you know, when you lace two of them like he did so far, I think David's going to go do it right here, to be honest with you.
As now the umpire, that bat is not up to the umpire's cert. I don't know that I've ever seen an amateur ball an umpire saying you can't swing that bat if it was chipped on top or what, Kurt?
Well, I don't know, but he definitely noticed it right away. As before David even got all the way in the box, he went over there in front of the catcher and he grabbed that bat and took a look at it. David shook his head thinking, oh, geez, I grabbed the wrong one and ran back to another one. Got a big grin on his face as he comes back in the batter's box, and we're going to see what David's going to do here with runners at second, third.
So maybe the third bat's the charm for Jonas and the Rockies in the eighth. They got runners at second and third. There's two down. Cold Spring leads 2-1. Elimination game. They all are in the Class C state tournament. As a long look in by Walls, he was waiting on Jonas the whole time. So now he's saying, now you wait on me here. Jonas calls time, steps out. We're ready to rumble here. 1-1 the count on Jonas as the 1-1 pitch. That is in there for a strike. Nasty little hook right there from Zach Walls. Moves our count to 1-2. Brady Lynn at third base with great speed. At second base, it's Tyler Geislinger with phenomenal speed as well. Base hit should easily score two for the Rockies. As Walls' 1-2 pitch to Jonas is fouled at home plate as the count stays put at 1-2. As the catcher, Nick Hoffman, I kind of like the way this guy calls the game back there, Kurt. He's kind of a slender, taller guy, not the the big stumpy catcher. He's pretty athletic and pretty good back there. He's fun to watch thus far.
He definitely does. He definitely goes and sits out plenty far outside. He works well back behind there. Sits real low to the ground.
1-2 the count to the Rocky third baseman. Trying to tack on here in the eighth. The 1-2 pitch swung on and missed, but it gets past the catcher, Hoffman. He'll have no play at first. Jonas is aboard, and a run comes across to score. A big one right there, giving the Rockies a little breathing room as they now lead 3-1.
Well, it wasn't the big hit we were looking for, but he did swing and miss on that one. Ends up going by the catcher. Goes all the way back here to the net. The catcher comes back and slides back, trying to go grab that quick. Brady Lynn easily comes across the score, and we still got runners at the corners with two outs.
Geislinger ends up at third base. Jonas aboard at first. Best strikeout of his life. As the Rockies now double their lead, they're up by two at a score of 3-1. 3-1 the advantage for Cold Spring. And it still doesn't get any easier for Zach Walls as Alex Geislinger into the batter's box, and he looks at a first pitch strike. Alex with two hits thus far this evening. Had the big double in the seventh inning to lead off the seventh last inning. Single in the fourth. He's 2-for-3 on the day. 3-1 Cold Spring. As Zach Walls set the one strike pitch, that's missing down and away. Now 1-1. No activity in the Rocky pen. If it is Aller for the ninth inning, or I wouldn't be surprised to see old number 11 go finish this thing yet, Kurt Hemish. You had your call. I may have just had mine. Jonas leads from first, Geislinger from third. As Walls set, right-hander comes home. Geislinger looks at a curveball strike right there. That thing is nasty. This guy has got some stank on the heater. Nice little hook.
That was a big hook that he brought across the inside part of the plate over there. He kind of brought his arm down a little bit halfway. It's a little bit of a Dan Quisenberry look on that one there. And nothing but fooled Alex Geislinger on that one.
1-2 pitch. There goes Jonas. It's tapped on the ground and fielded by Zach Walls on the mound. He'll throw to first baseman Blaze Hoagie. 1-3 to retire Geislinger. But the damage is done. Cold Spring gets the two that they wanted, scoring two runs this inning on one hit. There were no Isanti airs and two runners left on base. 8 in the books. It is Cold Spring 3. The scoreboard now reading Cold Spring 3 and Isanti 1. And look at that lefty number 11 running out to the mound, Kurt Hemish. It's Ryan Hennen on for the ninth inning. Coming up, trying to pitch the Rockies into the quarters. That's in 1 minute right here on Chasm Radio.
Did you know that the average human will sleep for a total of 26 years? Plus, we'll spend another 7 years of our lives just trying to fall asleep. In addition to sleeping, we'll put on enough miles in our lifetime to drive to the moon 3 times. If we're going to spend that much time behind the wheel, we ought to love our vehicle. Whether seating, safety, or towing capacity is your main priority, Gilliland Chevrolet has you covered. From the all-electric Bolt EV to the Chevy Silverado, and everything in between. Just thinking about your next vehicle purchase shouldn't keep you up at night. Most of our pre-owned inventory is backed by a 5-day money-back or 30-day exchange guarantee, and every new Chevrolet comes with Gilliland's Lifetime Powertrain Warranty, so you can shop with confidence and peace of mind. A good night's sleep is one of the keys to good health, and at Gilliland Chevrolet, we're committed to helping you rest easy when it's time for your next vehicle purchase. Visit us at GillilandChevrolet.com or 3019 West Division Street, St. Cloud. Find new roads. Gilliland makes the difference.
Last wraps for the Redbirds in the ninth. It's the bottom of the order in the top of the ninth for Isanti, and it starts with Brett Tholen as he will get a look at Ryan Hennon, who's back out there trying to finish what he started here, Kurt Hemish.
Indeed he is, as we see Ryan Hennon coming right at him, throwing the first pitch strike there.
Strike in there to Tholen, who has not enjoyed his time in the batter's box this evening, as Kurt, he is 0 for 3 with 3 Ks, and he looks at two Hennon strikes thus far. It'll be Tholen, Dunbar, and Zimprek due up. They're scheduled to hit for Isanti. That's their 7-8-9 as the 0-2 pitch. That's cut on and missed. I said it about the Grubers in the first round of the tournament, and I'm going to use my joke again here. Brett Tholen will not be sending Ryan Hennon a Christmas card. 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts, Kurt.
No, he won't, because he wasn't even close on that one. He takes two pitches right down the plate, and then he goes and swings at that big bender on the outside part of the plate.
So Hennon gets that all-important first out as Mitch Dunbar into the batter's box. First offering to Dunbar that is missing for a ball. Got to say what up to Ricori High School principal Nate Getter. He's off camping in Crow Wing County with Stretch, Neewin, the Leasers, and the Getters all having some fun. Happy Labor Day, guys. Hope you're having a fantastic Friday night. Thanks for joining Dad and I here on KASM as the 1-0 pitch fouled off by Dunbar to even it up at 1-1. Dunbar thus far today, infield groundouts. He's grounded out to Duffner, Hennon, and New thus far this evening at 0 for 3. As Hennon's 1-1 pitch, swinging above the letters, getting a little too hungry right there, Kurt. Pressure's mounting for Dunbar as he chases. And 1-2 the count. 12 strikeouts on the evening for Ryan Hennon. He has gone the distance, allowing his first earned state tournament run in his amateur baseball career. As the 1-2 pitch, curveball in there, strike three, and Isanti down to their final out. Uncle Charlie for out number two.
Well, he throws that big bender on the outside part of the plate, and Dunbar did nothing but look at it, and he walks back to the dugout with his head down as Ryan Hennon picks up his 13th strikeout of the night.
Lucky 13 in the punch-out column. Andrew Aller and TJ New have ceased throwing in the bullpen. They want to watch the master get back to his craft. As Hennon's first offering to Tristan Zimprek, cut on and missed by the right fielder. He's been a tough out. He has gotten out all evening thus far tonight, but he's been a tough out in that nine spot for Isanti. As Hennon's one strike offering to Zimprek, that is tapped softly in front of home plate. Kaltoff's up with it, and he bobbles it behind the plate. It'll be a base runner aboard. And that brings the tying run to the plate, Kurt Hemish. We saw catcher Nick Hoffman last inning slip in the dewy grass of the early September evening, and I think Kaltoff's cleats were moving a little too quick right there.
Well, he did the same thing. He kind of went down on the ball quick. He ends up slipping a little bit of that. I think he was going to go down and throw from his knees. It was going to be his only play at first base, but once he slipped, there wasn't a chance of getting them.
So an error on the Cold Spring catcher. Their third error of the evening, and the tying run to the plate in the form of leadoff man Jeff Bauman. As the first offering to Bauman, right down Broadway for strike one from Hennon.
They actually gave him a base hit on that play, according to the official score on the scoreboard. But
how was that a base hit? These guys, I tell you. So the not third error of the evening, as one strike the count to Bauman, as the one strike pitch just off the plate. I mean, if he fields the ball without falling, he's out by 25 feet and the game's over.
Yep.
So how that's a hit is beyond me. I guess I grew up in the Art Schlungen scorebook days where the ball had to be not touched by anybody or something like that for a base hit to come. Is the 1-1 offering, curveball just a little too late breaking as that moves our count to 2-1. Two down for Isanti in the ninth. Hennon trying to put a bow on it and pitch the Rockies into the fourth round and the quarterfinals, Sunday at 3. As the 2-1 pitch fouled down the right field line, and Isanti down to their final strike once again.
And for the first time in three innings, there's not seven or eight people down in the Rocky bullpen, Kirby.
This game is Ryan Hennen's, Kurt. It'll be on his shoulders, win or lose, it appears, at this point. 2-2 to Jeff Bowman. Runner at first is Tristan Zimprek. He reached on a single, quote-unquote, as Hennen sets. The lefty ready. His 2-2 inside. Now fills it up at 3-2, so Zimprek will leave early from first base. A little too close for comfort right there, nearly hitting Jeff Bowman. So that fills it up. Hennen steps off the back of the rubber, and they're going to call a balk. Hennen came forward, Kurt Hemish. That run means nothing. Being the Rockies' lead by two, Hennen came forward before he stepped off, and a balk is called on Ryan Hennen. That was pretty clear.
Yeah, he definitely did it, and the base umpire didn't waste any time of going to make that call, and he quickly goes over there, and Kelvin Kaltoff runs out to talk to the young Ryan Hennen here and just tell him, hey, don't worry about that guy at second base. We're up by two. You got to go after the hitter right here and go from there.
Powwow comes to an end between Kaltoff and Hennen as the count still full at 3-2. Coming on the night is 1-for-3 with a single, and he has scored the lone Isanti run last inning. Hennen's payoff pitch to Bowman is just missing right there. Bowman dropped his bat and ran to first right away like he knew it clear as day. That was a heck of a take right there, Kurt. And all of a sudden, the tying run is on base, and here comes Tom Ficker to have a word with his lefty.
Well, it definitely was a heck of a take, but it was one of those that was right on the corner on the left-hand side of the plate. It hasn't been a strike all night. If you put it right there on the right-hand side of the park, it will be. But it's going to be interesting to see what he does. Yeah, we don't see anybody in the bullpen, but I tell you, the two guys that have been thrown down there, they're definitely loose because they've been throwing for three innings. They just quit throwing with one out in the bottom of the the top of the ninth here.
So these two guys, Tucholsky and Soderquist, Kurt, are both left-handed, and they are combined 1-for-8 on the day, 1-for-7 on the day, as Soderquist was the guy who had the RBI double last inning in the eighth. As the meeting has come to an end, and as we had anticipated, it's going to stay Ryan Hennen's game here. Joe Tucholsky had a few hits in the opening or in the second round for Isanti, their first state tournament game. He'd love one right here, and he'd love it to be in the gap. They got good speed on the pads. Their center fielder's on second, and their second baseman leadoff man's on first. Gap shot with two outs could tie it up, but the Rockies got some arms and some speed in the outfield. First offering to Tucholsky is cut on and missed, fouled into the mid of Kaltoff for strike one. Not waiting around, Kurt. Tucholsky with a daddy hack there.
He definitely did. I don't think he wanted to tie the game. I think he wanted to put him ahead with that swing.
One strike the count on the Isanti Redbird shortstop. New trying to keep the runner Zimprek close at second base. As the one strike pitch, that's hit on the ground softly towards second. Geislinger up with it. He flips to first, and Duffner stays on the bag. And the Rockies are headed to the quarterfinals with a 3-1 victory over the Isanti Redbirds here this evening. Right down to the wire as Geislinger's throw nearly pulling Duffner off the bag. But the Duffman stayed on, and Cold Spring advances to the final eight.
You called it when you said nearly pulled him off. Duffner did a fine job stretching as far as he could on that one, but he did just hang on to the base because the runner knew it. The first base coach knew it. They're waving their hands high to each other because, unfortunately, that's all they can do when the game's over. They can't do any handshakes or things like that, but what a fine job by the Cold Spring Rockies.
So that does it for Isanti in the ninth. No runs, one hit. No Cold Spring errors. They called that a hit, and two runners left on base. Final score, Cold Spring 3, Isanti 1. Elite 8 for the boys from Cold Spring as they will be in action on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock in Springfield. We're back with the Albany and Richmond postgame show coming up right here on Chasm Radio.
Hi, Don Erkins here from Erkins Water. We at Erkins Water are doing all we can to protect our employees and our customers while helping to prevent the spread of COVID. We are open to help you get that water as soft, clean, and odor-free as you want it to be. Call Erkins Water and let us help. We are seeing more arsenic, tannins, and organically bound iron in waters today. We have the equipment to clean them up. We now have iron filters that use less water to regenerate and still require no maintenance. All of our water softeners and filtering equipment regenerate on water usage, not days. And all of our systems include installation, sales tax, and a free fill of salt. Are you drinking enough water today? Are you concerned about the quality and taste of your water? Are you buying bottled water? Call and ask about our highly efficient reverse osmosis systems that make your water safer and taste better. These new systems do not waste near the water as in the past. Let us get your water as clean, soft, and odor-free as it should be. Erkin's Water of Cold Spring.
As we step into the Albany and Richmond A&W postgame show, we welcome you back to Yankee Stadium in Milroy as a 3-1 final score as the Cold Spring Rockies advance to the Elite Eight for the 2020 campaign. And Kurt, a pretty darn good ball game we saw here tonight.
Well, everybody got their money's worth. They came down here to Milroy tonight because that was a scrappy Isani team. They never gave up. They came back and tied that game in the inning. Luckily, the Rockies came back with two runs in the bottom of that. They again got two more guys on in the top of the ninth. What a ball game here tonight, Kirby.
Unofficial totals, Dad?
For the Cold Spring Rockies, they scored three runs and four hits. They committed two errors, left four men on base. For the Isani Redbirds, they scored one run and five hits. They played airless ball and left 10 men on base.
Winning pitcher this evening, going the distance, all nine, is Ryan Hennen. He gives up the one run. It was an earned run, which is new for him in the state tournament. That's the first time that's ever happened to him. He ends up striking out a lucky 13, issued a couple walks, hit a man, and gave up the run, Kurt, but he got his team into the next round, and he was the only one to pitch.
Well, he did. He ended up throwing all nine, which was a little bit of a surprise by how many pitches he ended up throwing, but what a fine job by Ryan Hennen. When you go pitch a complete game here and only give up one run when you're in the final 16 of the state tournament, you did one hell of a job.
What did the clicker end up at?
He ended up throwing 152 pitches this evening.
Well, anyone who had some doubts after him not being able to get loose last weekend, perhaps sitting or last year in the state tournament, perhaps sitting around a fire in the near the Richmond ballpark, those doubts should be removed because he put his big boy pants on tonight and got him into the second round.
He did. Not only did he put him into the next round here of this weekend, I mean, to go throw a complete game and throw that many pitches is unbelievable.
Offensive highlights for the Rockies, Kurt. I mean, they only had four hits, so this will be a quick one.
Well, Alex Geislinger ended up having two of those four hits. A big night for Alex Geislinger is when we scored that first run, he had that big hit to advance the runner over to third base when we put the safety squeeze on. Then he came up with a big double in the seventh inning when we put two more bunts on, hoping we could add to that lead, but a fine play by the pitcher as Eskew popped up to him on a bunt on the suicide squeeze and ends up catching that bunt that was popped up and running over to third base and doubling up Alex Geislinger after he had already crossed home plate when that ball was caught.